Those familiar with the primary years program might be unfamiliar with the term learner agency. But is the idea of value, choice and ownership in the classroom a new idea? My guest, David Schottner, and I discuss this and more on this episode of Making Teaching Audible. Welcome, David.
Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. We are speaking at 7:47 my time. You are in Ohio. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
My name is David Schottner. I have a dual role here at Cassingham Elementary School. I teach half-time in grade 5, so I share a classroom, which is very exciting. My co-teacher and I get to co-teach all of the units of inquiry, which is the ultimate teaching collaboration. I love it so much. And my other half is spent as the PYP coordinator for our school grades K through 5.
And I am also a PYP coordinator. PYP, of course, stands for Primary Years Program. So we both work in IB, International Baccalaureate World Schools. And the PYP just released a big new digital resource, PYP From Principles into Practice. So we both read the section on learner agency. Yes?
Correct.
Right. Okay. And so we're having this short podcast just to talk through a little bit about the ideas that were in that section. So I mentioned in the intro about how learner agency is simply defined as students' voice, choice, and ownership. So I'm just interested to hear your thinking about what do you think about when we talk about learner agency?
So my big takeaway, first of all, I absolutely love the tagline voice, choice, and ownership. I think that's going to be really meaningful for teachers and students. But my big takeaway was that when learners have agency, this idea of self-efficacy, it's not just the learner taking agency, but it's the teacher and the learner developing a partnership. I think when we think of educational partnerships in the past, our context has been teachers and parents or teachers and families, but really bringing the student into that partnership full time, regardless of the age of the learner, was my big takeaway of where we're heading with agency in the PYP.
I like that point of partnership. When I first started thinking about this idea of learner agency, I think I, as a teacher, got a little threatened because I thought, oh, I'm completely out of the picture now. It's that I'm supposed to be the guide on the side and I'm supposed to put the learner front and center and then they just run. And then I kind of get left in the dust. But I think that you bring up a good point about teachers and students working in partnership together. We're never going to work ourselves out of a job, I don't think.
Correct. I echo your initial concern, and I see a lot of teachers having that as well. But what I would remind them is that we're already doing this really well. We're just putting new terms and ideas to the concepts we already live every day. For example, we already have student-led conferences. What better way to put the student at the center of their learning than to conduct their own conference with their parent and their teacher? Furthermore, if we are truly employing the pedagogy of inquiry on a daily basis, which most of us absolutely are, the kids really are at the center and making the decisions and asking the questions and figuring out how to find those answers. So this, I can connect this to a great video by Kat Murdoch, which some of us have probably seen. And it is, when you said the phrase guide on the side, that's what triggered this memory of Kat Murdoch. The teacher is not the guide on the side. They're really up front and in the middle of things. It just looks like they're on the side because the kids are really taking control of their learning.
You should send me that video. We'll include it in the description of this podcast so that our listeners can go to that video and also watch that too.
Great idea.
I've heard the term meddler in the middle as something that teachers can think about when they think about their role in a classroom where we're trying to promote learner agency. So this idea that we're in the middle kind of meddling things. One of the things I pulled out of the reading as far as what teachers can do is be open to noticing learners' capabilities, needs, and interests. And so it's about keeping an open ear, an open eye, really knowing where your learners are going, what direction they're heading. And then if there are any complications, then you know when might be a good time to pull them back or redirect them or ask a probing question that might get them kickstarted in a new direction so that we are really truly meddling in their learning process. We're helping guide that. Many of us work with students as young as 5 years old. So it's important that we are continually being a mentor, modeling how to be agentive, and truly being that person that's in the middle, kind of helping students along.
It's like you're reading my mind talking about age. One of the points I really have been grappling with the past few days as I've considered this text was, you know, in the PYP, we're really good at agency and student ownership as students get older, especially with exhibition in the final year of the primary years program. But I can see a common concern being, how do I promote agency with younger learners in pre-K, kindergarten, even first grade? So two strategies that I picked up, one implicitly and one explicitly in this article, was first this idea of ask the kids questions. What are you reading? Do you like it? Is it too easy? Is it too hard? Promoting, you know, ownership and agency in early readers. They can express their voice, choice, and ownership in what they're reading and what they're learning at an early age. So that was my implicit pickup. And then the explicit was creating shared routines. That's something any teacher can do at any time during the school year. And that is kind of the learning conditions on the outside, which affect the learning. Asking for student input into developing routines around arrival, transitions, communication signals, meetings, cleanup, and dismissal. Those shared routines are something that any learner, regardless of ability, can participate in their learning. And that absolutely promotes agency, in my opinion.
When I reflect back on when I was in the classroom and think about those routines, those are always routines I would set up. You know, before the students came in, I'd have an idea about how things were going to run, but it would be such an easy switch to involve the learners in there. I'm glad that you pointed that out. Sure. Another strategy that I picked up on was even just setting up the learning space together. You know, how do we want our room to look? How do we want our room to flow? And then, you know, mid-year, if there's any reason why we want to change that, let's change it. Maybe our needs have changed. Maybe we got a new student. Maybe, you know, our desk setup isn't the way we want it. So giving kids the sense of ownership, even over the physical space, I think would be a really easy way to include learners in some of those decisions about their learning. We don't often, at least I don't often think about. I really like that idea. You mentioned student-led conferences. And we've talked a little bit about creating shared agreements, setting up learning spaces. What are other things, if you could recommend to all PYP schools in our IB World community, what would be another general recommendation you might make for them?
I would say students taking agency and being able to choose how they share their learning. So with the assessment piece of the PYP curriculum model, I would say allowing students to choose how they're going to share their learning. Is it going to be written? Is it going to be oral? Is it going to be using technology? The teacher certainly can set up the expectations and the rubric of what learning do I want you to convey? But then the learner can pick, am I going to do a PowerPoint? Am I going to do a video? Because I found so often that kids come up with ways to share their learning I hadn't even considered. So by putting the ball in their court and letting them make choices, that's truly where we see the authentic learning, because kids are making it their own.
And they're so much more motivated then, and they want to keep going with it, right? It's like, oh, wait, we have to stop now? It's like, right. Yes, we have to go on.
It's no longer a compliance exercise. They are truly excited about their learning, which is what we're here for.
I love it. One last thing before we close, I've been thinking about what I personally can do, because we can make recommendations to our teachers, but kind of what will I do personally?
Yeah.
Thinking about action in the PYP, there's the different demonstrations of action, and one of them is advocacy. So I'll make here publicly and in front of you and maybe the two or three listeners who will listen to this. I'm gonna advocate for learner agency. So I think one of those things is creating a podcast and sending it out. The other thing is I've tried to be a little bit more meaningfully using Twitter. So I think that when I head around the school and see learners being agentive, whether that's making decisions with the teacher or choosing which kind of assessment they want to use in order to demonstrate their learning, I'm going to try to either snap a video of it or take a picture of it and then post it to Twitter and use some sort of a hashtag with learner agency, just as a way to advocate for more teachers to use that.
I will absolutely join you in that advocacy. That's a great goal.
Wonderful. Well, everyone follow the hashtag learner agency. What's your Twitter handle that people can follow you?
It's super complicated. Not just kidding. At David Schottner.
Just your name. Perfect. And I am at Mr. Ryan Higby.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining me this morning.
This was so fun. Thank you for setting it up.
Yes. Do you know that you're on the inaugural episode of this podcast?
That is a high honor for sure.
Wonderful. Well, I hope it's not our last. Thanks so much.
Agreed. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Making Teaching Audible. You can find this and other episodes at anchor.fm/making-teaching-audible. You can follow me, Ryan Higby, on Twitter at Mr. Ryan Higby, or check out my blog, making-teaching-visible.blogspot.com.